Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Universal Electronics fourth quarter and year-end 2016 earnings conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session, and instructions will follow at that time. If anyone should require operator assistance, please press the star then the zero key on your touch-tone telephone. As a reminder, this call will be recorded. I would now like to introduce your host for today's conference, Ms. Becky Herrick of LHA. You may begin.
Thank you, Catherine, and thank you all for joining us for the Universal Electronics fourth quarter and year-end 2016 financial results conference call. By now, you should have received a copy of the press release. If you have not, please contact LHA at 415-433-3777. This call is being broadcast live over the internet. A webcast replay will be available for one year at www.uei.com. In addition, any additional updated material non-public information that might be discussed during this call will be provided on the company's website, where it will be retained for at least one year. You may also access that information by listening to the webcast replay. After reading a short safe harbor statement, I'll turn the call over to management. During the course of this conference call, management may make projections or other forward-looking statements regarding future events and the future financial performance of the company, including the company's ability to build and maintain and build its relationships with its customers, particularly Comcast, DirecTV, EchoStar, DISH, Cox, Charter, Sony, Samsung, Panasonic, Sky, Liberty, Vodafone, and Microsoft. The company's ability to anticipate the needs and wants of its customers and timely develop and deliver products and technologies that will meet those needs and wants, including the QuickSet technologies, home security, home temperature controllers, home automation, and other technologies identified in this call. The adoption and success of QuickSet Cloud as anticipated by management, the ability of the company to achieve its sales growth as anticipated by management, the significant percentage of the company's revenues attributable to a limited number of customers, and particularly the sales growth and benefits of the company's relationship with Comcast, the timing of new product rollout orders from the company's customers as anticipated by management, the continued trend of the industry in providing consumers with more advanced technologies, management's ability to manage its business to achieve its revenue, margin, and earnings as guided, the continued ability to identify and execute on opportunities that maximize stockholder value, management's ability to successfully and profitably transition the company's manufacturing operations, and other factors described in the company's filings with the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission. The actual results the company achieves may differ materially from any forward-looking statement due to such risks and uncertainties. Management wishes to caution you that these statements are just projections, and actual results or events may differ materially from those projections. The company undertakes no obligation to revise or update these statements to reflect events or circumstances that may arise after today's date. For further detail on risk, management refers you to the press release mentioned at the onset of this call and the documents the company files from time to time with the SEC, including the annual report on Form 10-K for the year ended December 31, 2015, and the periodic reports filed thereafter. These documents, along with the risks identified earlier on this call, contain and identify various factors that could cause actual results to differ materially from those contained in management's projections or forward-looking statements. In management's financial remarks, adjusted non-GAAP metrics will be referenced. Management provides adjusted non-GAAP metrics because it uses them in making financial, operating, and planning decisions and in evaluating the company's performance. The company believes these measures will assist investors in assessing the company's performance for the periods being reported. A full description and reconciliation of these adjusted non-GAAP measures versus GAAP is included in the company's press release issued today. On the call today are Chairman and Chief Executive Officer Paul Arling, who will deliver an overview, and Chief Financial Officer Bryan Hackworth, who will summarize the financials. Paul will then return to provide closing remarks. It's now my pleasure to introduce Paul. Please go ahead.
Paul, you may begin.
Okay. Sorry about that, everybody. We somehow got disconnected. Thank you, Becky, and thank you all for joining us today. Our fourth quarter results came in as expected, with net sales of $160.1 million and EPS of $0.70 per share. On a full-year basis, net sales were $654.1 million, and EPS was $2.91 a share, representing growth of 9% and 4% over last year, respectively. Our industry is undergoing an evolution where more advanced technologies and connectivity protocols are becoming the standard. Our customers are introducing new features and entertainment options that make the user experience more dynamic and exciting. The increasingly innovative devices and services being introduced are far more complex than yesterday's platforms. During this transition, some of our partners' development cycles can be subject to timing delays as they may go through several design, feature, and technology iterations, including extensive user testing and validation before launching their platforms. These new product introductions are inarguably moving forward as advanced platforms are becoming the industry standard. We are excited to continue to partner with our customers to roll out these new advanced technologies in the months and years ahead. Despite any delays we may have experienced, our year-end results were as expected, and as the new year starts, we are beginning to see the positive effect of new projects shipping, as Brian will get to shortly when he discusses our first quarter guidance. The transition to more advanced platforms represents a large and growing opportunity for UEI, both in the initial rollout stage as well as on a long-term supply basis. But it's important to understand some of the details of our business to better understand the elements of this growth. There are many things that drive sales within our business, particularly within subscription broadcasting. One of them is technology upgrade for sure, but there are many others as well. First is upgrade cycles. The average home in the U.S. has more than one television. When our broadcast customers introduce a new platform, consumers will often upgrade to the new system on their primary TVs before first considering the whole home. While these partial and subsequent whole home upgrades represent new remote control purchases by our customers, these upgrade cycles may not necessarily affect the service provider subscriber numbers that are reported. Second is churn. While cable operators have put measures in place to reduce churn over the years, there is still a fair amount of turnover in their respective customer base. To account for this change in customers, operators are still actively providing equipment to new subscribers on a continuing basis, even as their subscriber numbers remain unchanged. The third is wear and tear. Remote controls may get broken in a variety of ways. They get liquid spilled on them, and as people with children and dogs can attest, they may get chewed, hidden, or lost. In addition, and I think Atlanta Falcons fans can back this up, when your favorite sports team loses, your remote might find itself in pieces on the ground after being thrown across the room. Indeed, remotes live a hard and dangerous life that unfortunately sometimes can end tragically. So those devices need to be replaced. These wear and tear replacement remotes are necessary to ensure continued use of the system and do not affect the subscriber numbers that our customers report. Blended together, our North American subscription broadcast customers buy, on average, new devices equal to approximately 75 to 80% of their total subscriber base each and every year, regardless of where they are in the technology upgrade cycle. Importantly, this number has remained relatively unchanged for many years and will likely remain unchanged going forward, even as our customers go through yet another technology evolution. We have seen this consistent purchase cycle through multiple technology upgrades across the last two decades, including the transition from analog to digital, from SD to HD, from non-DVR to DVR, and now as we migrate to advanced IP-enabled two-way video platforms. This deeper understanding of our market should encourage investors to look beyond simple metrics of subscriber count or upgrade cycles to assess our business potential. Over the next few years, more and more broadcasters will transition to these advanced platforms, and although the transition may not bring significant change in unit volumes, the average selling price associated with the new advanced remote control technologies we supply will continue to drive overall sales growth for UEI. Turning to a review of our recent business highlights, during the fourth quarter, we continued to expand the market adoption of our QuickSet product family. QuickSet enables the effortless setup and control of devices within the ever-growing home entertainment landscape. QuickSet has been deployed in hundreds of millions of devices worldwide, including televisions, stereos, set-top boxes, over-the-top players, game consoles, smartphones, tablets, and more. In December, we announced our long-term partner Comcast was the first service provider to deploy our QuickSet Cloud solution. QuickSight Cloud represents the world's most comprehensive database, which ensures nearly all consumer electronic devices can be automatically recognized and controlled with a remote control. This solution solves the biggest challenge associated with setting up and programming newly installed home entertainment devices for the first time. Comcast has integrated QuickSight Cloud into its X1 entertainment operating system and its voice remote. Our partnership with Comcast demonstrates the close working relationship we have with our customers as we work to develop innovative solutions that meet our customers' high standards and deliver a world-class experience to their customers. We also announced we are supplying the advanced voice remote control and QuickSight Cloud technology for the newly launched Air TV player that combines Sling TV's live TV channels with Netflix and Google Play over-the-top video libraries. At CES in January, we introduced QuickSight 4.0, the latest iteration of our advanced platform. QuickSight 4.0 moves beyond control capabilities with the addition of Control Plus IP services, which enables the discovery of connected devices in the home and surfaces rich metadata on content and applications that users care about across devices and brands. We also unveiled a number of new product innovations. In our wireless home security business, we showcased the latest in home sensing, monitoring, and control solutions, ranging from intelligent door and window sensors to weather sensors to automated light switches and more. We also displayed our portfolio of home temperature controllers designed for some of the world's largest consumer HVAC brands. We began shipping some of the new products in our portfolio late in the fourth quarter, with more set to be introduced throughout 2017. Using the existing broadband architecture, our customers are introducing new platforms to consumers that support services and applications that weren't possible even just 1 year ago. Our intelligent sensing technologies combine with our home entertainment control innovations to provide customers a more complete smart home solution. The long-term opportunity this represents is large and compelling. Today, we are providing the best home entertainment control and safety and security products in the world. But there are a tremendous number of smart home and IoT applications available, and more are being introduced every day. Our customer base is ideally suited to implement these solutions, and we are providing the devices and technologies that enable consumers to connect and control virtually any device in their home. We're at the very early stages of this opportunity, and I look forward to keeping you updated on our progress. With that, I'd now like to have Brian Hackworth, our CFO, take you through the financial results.
Thank you, Paul. As a reminder, our results for the fourth quarter and full year 2016, as well as the same period in 2015, we'll reference adjusted non-GAAP metrics. Overall, we performed as we expect in the fourth quarter, as both the top line and bottom line fell within the guidance provided on our last earnings call. Fourth quarter net sales were $160.1 million compared to $162.1 million for the fourth quarter of 2015. Business category net sales were $144.9 million compared to $145.4 million in the fourth quarter of 2015. Consumer category revenue was $15.2 million compared to $16.7 million in the prior year quarter. Gross profit was $43 million, or 26.9%, compared to 28.8%. Although we are not yet maximizing our factory's capacity, we did make significant progress in the fourth quarter. Our fourth quarter gross margin rate of 26.9% represents the highest rate of the year and was achieved primarily through productivity gains as we continue to transfer production from our southern China factory to our northern China factory, and as we begin to ramp up production for new advanced production rollouts. Operating expenses were $29.1 million compared to $31.4 million in the fourth quarter of 2015. R&D expense was $4.4 million compared to $5.4 million. SG&A was $24.7 million compared to $26 million. Operating income was $13.9 million compared to $15.2 million. The effective tax rate was approximately 18% compared to 13%. As expected, net income was $10.4 million or 70 cents per diluted share compared to $13.4 million or 91 cents per diluted share in the prior year period. For the full year 2016, net sales were $654.1 million compared to $602.8 million in 2015. Gross margins were 26.2% compared to 27.9%. Operating expenses were $117.8 million compared to $112.9 million in 2015. Operating income was $53.5 million compared to $55 million. Net income was $42.9 million or $2.91 per diluted share compared to $43.3 million or $2.79 per diluted share in 2015. Next, I'll review our cash flow and balance sheet at December 31st, 2016. We ended the quarter with cash and cash equivalents of $50.6 million compared to $53 million at December 31st, 2015. Depending on market conditions, we may aggressively repurchase our shares in the open market as the positive trends in our industry support our long-term outlook. DSOs were approximately 70 days at December 31st, 2016, compared to 68 days the year prior. Net inventory turns were approximately 3.8 turns at December 31st, 2016, compared to 3.9 turns the year prior. Now, turning to our guidance. For the first quarter of 2017, we expect net sales to range between $155 and $163 million. Compared to $151 million in the first quarter of 2016. EPS for the first quarter is expected to range from 57 cents to 67 cents, compared to 50 cents in the first quarter of 2016. This represents EPS growth of between 14 and 34%. We are reaffirming our long-term financial outlook. We expect average annual sales growth of 5 to 10% and average earnings per share growth of 10 to 20%. I would now like to turn the call back to Paul.
Thank you, Brian. We are at the beginning stages of a major shift in home control. The world's largest home entertainment device makers are introducing more advanced technologies and products, and they have enabled the interconnection of a multitude of home entertainment and home security devices. UEI has established itself as the provider of choice to these companies as we develop and deploy solutions that make these advanced technologies and products easier to set up and use every day. As the growth of home entertainment and home security continues, and the concept of the smart home continues to emerge, UEI is ideally positioned to build on our leadership in the industry. We have established relationships with the world's leading names in home entertainment worldwide, including Comcast, DirecTV, EchoStar Dish, Cox, Charter, Sony, Samsung, Panasonic, Sky, Liberty, Vodafone, Microsoft, and many, many more. And we have worked with many as they continue to design, develop, and deploy their industry-leading next-generation products and services. We have a three-decade track record of introducing the products and technologies that change the way consumers interact with devices in their home, making setup and everyday use easier than they have ever been before. In our 30-year history, we have truly changed what a remote control is and what it is capable of doing. And we are not done yet. In fact, in many ways, we are just getting started. Stay tuned. I'd now like to open up the call for questions.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. If you have a question at this time, please press the star, then the one key on your touch-tone telephone. If your question has been answered or you wish to remove yourself from the queue, please press the pound key. Again, if you would like to ask a question, press the star, then the one key on your touch-tone telephone. And our first question comes from Greg Burns with Sidoti & Company. Your line is open.
Good afternoon. Last quarter, you talked about a dozen or so customer delays. Could you just give us an update on those delays? Did they begin shipping in the first quarter, or do you have visibility into when they might begin shipping?
Yeah, some of them are shipped. There's a couple that are still awaiting shipment, but will be soon. So,
okay,
as we said on the prior call, some of these projects get delayed by weeks. Some of them can actually be delayed by months, but they're all going to ship. Some of them have already, and a few others will as time unfolds. And then we have a lot behind that.
Okay, so the delays you talked about last quarter are either shipped or you have good visibility on them shipping shortly.
Yeah.
Was there any other delays? Did you see any other delays in your pipeline of business similar to what you saw last quarter that might be offsetting some of these that are now shipping?
No, not in terms of project rollouts. But we have dozens of projects that will roll out in the next 6 months. So, they're scheduled to, they haven't They're not delayed, but you know, as we go on, you know, as more of them enter, they help offset anything that might be delayed by weeks or months.
Okay. Okay. And so I guess the guidance, you know, seems to imply a sequential increase in business revenue. So I guess that would jive with the rollouts accelerating. But as we look into the balance of the year, into the second and third quarter, would you expect, given the rollouts that you have visibility to, that business revenue kind of growth accelerates throughout the year?
Yeah, Greg, we don't give long-term guidance, or at least within the year. We give it on a 3 to 5 year basis. But you can see in the Q1 forecast for the midpoint 5%, and the upper range is close to 8%, and that represents primarily new product introductions. The majority of that growth is as Paul's mentioning, the shipments and the new rollouts that came in towards the end of Q4, as well as a couple in Q1. So that's primarily all new rollouts, going from the lower-end platforms to the higher-end platforms. And as the year progresses, as these new products come on, again, I don't want to forecast too much, but we've got a lot of projects that as they roll out, it should help the growth.
Okay, thanks. And could you give us the split of what percent of revenue was Comcast and what was DirecTV?
I could give you Comcast. It was 23.6%. DirecTV was not a significant customer this quarter, significant being defined by greater than 10%.
Okay. So less than 10%. Okay. And could you talk about maybe your view on what Comcast is doing with Roku and a application-based delivery of their service through third-party set-top boxes? Is that a risk to the business longer term?
Well, I can't speak specifically about Comcast. We have a policy against doing that. I would just say that we do have customers that are doing that sort of product and or technology. In some cases, we're supporting it, so there's a direct benefit to us. In other cases, you could argue there's a threat, but none of these have yet to affect the forecast that our customers are giving us or that we would then in turn give to you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. And our next question comes from Mike Olson with Piper Jaffray. Your line is open.
Hey, good afternoon. Just slight nuance to that delayed deployment question. Just to be clear, when you say that these deployments are now shipping, does that mean the service provider customers are deploying their systems now and you are shipping next-gen remotes to them now? Or does it mean that they're deploying their systems now and you'll be shipping remotes to them sometime in the future, kind of after their systems are out in the market for some period of time?
No, we would ship them now.
Simultaneously.
So as the products deploy, they deploy with our products and or technologies.
Okay, makes sense.
Yep.
And then, I guess, Brian, could you provide any thoughts on what you would expect Q1 gross margin to look like?
Well, we don't give guidance specifically on gross margin, but I will say in Q4, we were very happy with the progress we've made. I think we've mentioned on previous calls that one of our goals is to get the gross margin rate up, and I think sequentially we made nice progress where we've mentioned that at GTY, which is our northern factory, we increased the infrastructure, we hired people, et cetera, basically increased the overhead to absorb and to be able to meet the demand for these new rollouts. And because it got delayed, there's some slight inefficiencies in the short run. But in the long run, we're going to be fine. And we ended up moving more production from our southern factory, which we're eventually going to shut down and sell. We announced that on a press release last quarter, but that also helped where if you load up more production in a factory, you're produce more efficiently, and you absorb the overhead more efficiently, and it essentially reduces your cost per unit. So we were very, very happy with the progress we made in Q4.
And it's important to note that we actually wanted to repeat it twice on the call, but Brian didn't want to. The sales growth is single digit, the range for Q1, and the earnings are 14 to 34%. So that should give you an idea of a little bit of margin expansion, not necessarily gross margin because we're not guiding on gross, but net margin that's pretty strong growth in earnings for the quarter.
Yep. Okay. Makes sense. And then, Paul, you mentioned this in the prepared remarks, but as TV service providers look to find new ways to extract revenue from their customers, you guys are already there on the security side. Are there any specifics on some of the other technologies that you could see service providers potentially adding to their portfolio that you could participate on?
Yeah, that's a good question, Mike. I figured I'd get it. I have to be careful because we're in the midst of working on many projects, probably dozens of projects in a variety of areas for major customers worldwide. We have quite a few HVAC projects that we're working on right now. There are other home control, smart home, IoT, whatever classification you want to do, you want to use, applications that these new platforms can utilize and that our customers are targeting as a potential enhancement to their service and or revenue generator for them or both. But I can't give a lot of specifics about the products, the exact products or technologies they'll be using. The only thing I'd suggest is that if anyone were to go out and read an article that's been written recently about smart home or IoT, the fact is that our customer base is ideally suited with these new platforms to implement almost any of those in almost any area. Because the platform they have is IP-enabled, it has battery-efficient two-way RF technology embedded in it, which allows battery-operated or powered products. There's almost no application that's talked about that can't be easily implemented by our customer base. And they are experimenting with and or at various stages of developing some of those applications.
All right. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Again, if you have a question, please press the star, then the one key on your touchtone telephone. And our next question comes from Stephen Frankel with Dougherty. Your line is open.
Good afternoon, Paul. You talked about some IncoLink new products that you showed at CES, but maybe just a quick update on shipping the traditional security endpoints. Did you ship material volume to Comcast in the quarter, and how's your United Technologies relationship going with the mission to penetrate the third-party ADTs of this world?
Yeah, I can't speak specifically about the quantities shipped to either or any customer really, but I will say both sides of that are going well. We have shipped product to the industry, product we plan to ship in Q4, and we have more product expectations this year, obviously targeting a significant growth, significantly higher than our company average off of a relatively small base, but have great growth expectations from that business founded on projects that we are working on currently on both sides of that equation, on the traditional security provider channel, as well as subscription broadcasting.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So last year, you got a lot of rave reviews for the QuickSec technology that Samsung and Sony put into a couple models of their TVs. What's the penetration of that technology in 2017 TV sets? And did you get any new customers beyond those two?
Well, they're two of the biggest. All I would say is that what's happened now is, as typically happens in that industry, there's an annual design cycle. And what typically happens is the first year they put it in some models, test the effect, and then broaden the models. And that's exactly what's happened. So we expect to be in, as time goes on, this year, and as time goes on, to be in more and more models. As we iterate the software and the technology, we make it better and better every year, and the customers love what they see. As you pointed out, the reviews of the technology were astoundingly good. So, you know, we expect that they're going to see this as a key element of their product line, and we'll probably take it to a much wider array of their SKUs as time goes on. And that is happening this year, but we expect that to happen going forward in future years as well.
Great. And I don't want Brian to feel left out. So what are we thinking about CapEx for 2017, and what tax rate is implied in your guidance for Q1?
Yeah, as far as CapEx is concerned, it should be lower in 2017. In 2016, we had a lot going on. We had to, you know, increase the capacity at our northern factory, as well as one of our southwestern factories as well. So that caused additional CapEx. And then, like I said, we ended up had to increase the machinery equipment as well to support the demand. To meet the demand. So it should be lower. I would probably say in the low to mid 20s in 2017. I think the base is, you know, the good news is the base is going to increase a little bit, just because the more volume we're doing, the more production, the more often you have to replace the machinery and equipment. So that's good news. As far as the tax rate is concerned, I don't think it should differ materially for the year. By the quarter, I don't want to get into the specifics and bore you with the tax details, but quarter to quarter it can vary. When you're talking about quarter over quarter, you know, year over year. But for a full year, I expect it to be very similar to in 2016.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you. Just as a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, press the star, then the one key on your touchtone telephone. And we have a follow-up from Greg Burns with Sidoti & Company. Your line is open.
Hi. So the QuickSet cloud deployment with Comcast, what's the incremental ASP for you for that type of service, and I guess what are your conversations like with your other subscription broadcast provider customers in terms of deploying that technology?
Yeah, we won't give specifics on any, you know, economic arrangement with a specific customer, so I can't tell you what the arrangement with Comcast is specifically, but things like QuickSet. The QuickSet 3.8 before it, the new QuickSet 4.0, all the way back to QuickSet 1.0. What this does is differentiates our solution versus our competition. At this point, I don't know of anyone else who's doing anything that's in the same ballpark as what we're doing with QuickSet 4.0 and QuickSet Cloud. And what we typically do with customers is it's embedded in the overall solution. So we price our units being implemented, because as you might have guessed with QuickSet, QuickSet utilizes a connection to the remote. So a remote gets sold in every time. So we embed the technology license, if you will, or the upcharge into the unit itself. So it differentiates us. It gains us a higher share of business. It penetrates customers we may not have had before. And in fact, as I pointed out in the prepared remarks, the ASPs of new units, for a variety of reasons, but probably including QuickSet, is ramping significantly, the average selling price of a unit. And embedded in that, if you want upcharge or that uprise in ASP, is the, you know, I guess you could say the economic value of QuickSet.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. And I'm showing no further questions at this time. I'd like to turn the call back to Mr. Paul Arling for any closing remarks.
Okay, thank you for joining us today. Sorry about dropping off at the beginning. We had a slight technological problem. And thank you for your continued interest in UEI. It's a little early to announce this, but I will anyway, so you can forward plan. We'll be presenting at the 18th Annual B. Riley Investor Conference, held May 24th through the 25th. We'll be at the Baird Global Consumer Technology and Services Conference on June 7th, and Citi's Small and Midcap Conference held June 8th and 9th. So at two conferences that same week in New York, 7th at Baird and Citi on the 8th or 9th. We look forward to seeing you at one or more of these events. And thank you very much and goodbye.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for participating in today's conference. This concludes today's program. You may all disconnect. Everyone, have a great day.